Fabulous. Have you enjoyed that? I think we should do it again. We've got a load more people that want to be baptised soon. If you want to be baptised, come and speak to us. That'd be great. So, some amazing testimonies of what God has done for people. You and I might have a discussion for hours on, does God exist? Is God real? But what you can't change is the testimony of the people that have chosen to follow Jesus. They've made a choice. It's their choice. They've encountered Jesus and their lives are changed. We all have stories. We all have different stories that we can tell. If we were to come up here today and share our story, some people would live by the story of success. Other people would live by the story of survival. Some people today, sadly, are living by tragedy. Some are trapped in stories of failure, regret, and pain. I wonder, what is your story today? What story are you living? I'm writing an autobiography at the moment. And one day it will be published, probably when I'm dead. I don't know. Probably get more sales then. If you were writing an autobiography today, what would the title of your story be? How would you entitle your story so that somebody would want to pick up your book and read it? Try my best. Still searching. Must try harder. My book's entitled Finishing Well. I've started, so I'll finish. Finishing Well. What would your title be? What about if your story could be rewritten? The revised version, the number 2 edition, number 3 edition, edition number 4, or even more. I want to say that your story can be completely rewritten to what it is now, if you want it to be. You could have a different ending to your story. And I can say that because of His story. Can you say His story? Jesus' story. That's His story. Today, Easter Sunday, we gather to remember His story. It's not just any story. It's a true life-changing, life-transforming, history-shaping change with Jesus Christ. And this Bible is His autobiography. This tells us about who Jesus is, why He came, what He does, what He can do for you and me today. This is the truth I want to reinforce with you today. No one has ever lived like Jesus. Do you believe that? No one has ever died like Jesus. Do you believe that? No one has ever risen like Jesus. This is His story. And Jesus' story changes everything. It's changed the lives of so many people in this room today. It's changed the lives of people in this world today, in our nation, in our town, other Christians. It has changed their life. And Jesus' story changes everything. It will change your story. It will change the story for your neighbours if they want it to be changed. For this nation, if we want it to change, if they want it to change. So let's pretend I'm writing a book about the life of Jesus that has 7 chapters, and I will be quick. And we'll just briefly look at the outline of this book that I'm writing about Jesus with 7 chapters. Chapter 1. Goes like this. His story is unlike any other life. History is filled with great people. Think about the most influential people that have lived on this world, on this earth. Maybe a king or a president or a warrior. But if we take all of their greatness, the greatness of every person that's done great things on this earth, no one compares to Jesus. Jesus wasn't born in a palace. The Son of God, the King of Kings that came from heaven, was not born in a palace. He was born in a borrowed manger. He had no army, yet he changed the world. He wrote no books, yet billions of people study his words. He owned nothing, yet he offers everything. Jesus came on this earth to serve, not to be served. In one account in the Bible, we find that Jesus came to his disciples and he washed the disciples' feet, which wouldn't have been very nice in those days because animals would go to the toilet in the road and people would walk through it. And Jesus took his disciples' feet and he washed them. His kingdom that he brings is a different kind of kingdom than some kingdoms that we see today, where the rule of the kingdom is all about wanting power over other people. But his kingdom's different, and you can have an invitation in chapter 7 to be part of his kingdom. It's a little bit like the CEO of Amazon. I know some people work for Amazon here today. He goes to work in his Armani suit. He takes off his jacket and he goes and cleans the toilets. It's the kind of example that Jesus sets. You see, his kingdom is a kingdom about humility. His greatness is defined by humility. Other leaders say, follow me and I'll show you the way. But Jesus said, what does it say in your t-shirt, Caitlin? I am the way, the truth and the life. Other people say, here is the truth. But Jesus says, I am the truth. So let's read that scripture together that was on Caitlin's t-shirt. Thank you, Caitlin, for setting me up today. So, well, Jesus answered. Should we read that together? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. People die and stay in the grave. But Jesus walked out of his. Jesus walked out of his. That's his story. So what would chapter 2 be? What would chapter 2 be? What would the title be? His story is a story of radical love. Anybody around in 1967? I was 2. Come on, you were around in 1967, yeah. Anybody remember the Beatles? All you need is love, la 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 la. All you need is love, love. All ever people need is love. People are desperate for love. 3.35 million records they sold. Hit number one. I was 2 in 1967. You can guess how old I am now. The heart of Easter is love. Jesus comes and he touches the untouchable. He forgives the unforgivable. He welcomes the rejected. He loves the unlovable. His love has touched and transformed billions of lives today. And he's still changing people's lives today. Even right now, he can change your life if you want him to. Do you know, before he died on that cross, he was beaten. He was beaten with a handle that was this long, with 12 strips of leather, and at the end of the leather was nails, glass, and metal. He was beaten 39 times, 468 stripes across his body. And he never retaliated. He never cursed them. He never told them he was going to send his angels from heaven to destroy them. He didn't resist. Even on the cross where people mocked him, He didn't retaliate. But he did do something. Do you know what he did? He prayed. And he said these words, let's read them together. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they divided up his clothes and cast lots. Father, forgive them. Who does that? No one in history responds like that. That's his story. It's a love that doesn't just speak words, but sacrifices for others. It's where his actions speak louder than words, and his words back up his actions. It's a love that doesn't just feel, it's a love that bleeds for you and I. And Jesus goes even further than that. He doesn't just forgive someone who's wronged him. He died for them. He died for you and I. He died in our place where we should have died and paid the penalty for our sins. He took that penalty for us. Chapter 3. His story is a story of substitution. Easter only makes sense when we understand this. Jesus didn't die. He died personally for you and me. He wasn't just somebody in history that was crucified on a cross. He died personally for you and I today. Maybe you're receiving an Easter egg today and you're going to enjoy that chocolate. Who doesn't like chocolate? Brian. Maybe as you eat your chocolate, you can think today, Jesus died personally for me. This is where his story becomes very personal. We deserve judgment. He took it. We deserve separation. He bore it. We deserve death. He took our place. The cross was not an accident. It was a heavenly assignment from God the Father for him to be a willing and obedient sacrifice. Jesus was not defeated on the cross. It was his divine purpose and mission. That is why he came to this earth, to die on a cross. Mission impossible, but he did it. When Jesus was raised from the dead, he came to the Father in heaven. And I don't know if I've got any in my pocket. I have. And he took the keys of death and hell. And he gives it to the Father. And let's look at this scripture. This is what he says. Let's read it together. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and hell. Imagine you're in a courtroom today. Imagine you're guilty. Imagine the judge has passed sentence upon you, and the sentence is death. And as the sentence is given, everyone in the room goes quiet because they know that the punishment for their crime was death. And during the quietness of that room, the judge gets up, he takes off his robe, he goes down to the person, and he says this: I'll pay the price for your sin, for your sacrifice, for your actions. And that's what Jesus did. Jesus took on the sacrifice for us. God can't ignore injustice. He has to give justice. And Jesus satisfied it. He paid for it by taking it upon himself. That's his story. The innocent dying for the guilty. The righteous standing in place of the broken. No one else has ever done that. Nor will anybody else be able to. Chapter 4. His story doesn't end in the grave. Amen? If the story ended on Friday, there's no point in us being here. All we're doing is just getting together to sing, and he ran out of the grave. But if he didn't, that's a lie. But because he did, that's the truth. His story doesn't end in the grave. The tomb was empty, death was defeated, and it was and is a glorious day for us to remember today. And this is where Jesus stands completely alone. Many have died for causes, but only Jesus rose again. Other graves are full, but his is empty. Amen? Other leaders are remembered, but Jesus is alive. This is his story changing reality. I've done many funerals. When someone dies, it always ends up the same. People coming to service here, we talk about them. We go to the crematorium and are either buried or cremated. And then there's a separation for a period of time. And that's sad. And some of you here today are living through that and remembering that. But when Jesus' disciples come to his grave, there's something that's not normal happening. There's nobody in the grave. The grave is empty. That's not normal, is it? It's like you're going to visit somebody and the grave's empty. Do you know anybody that's happened to them where they've seen that? Matthew 28 verse 6. Let's read it together. He is not here. He has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Come and see. This is why we call it his story, because it happened. The grave was empty. Jesus rose from the dead. Death works for everybody except for one person. That's Jesus. He's the only one where it doesn't work the same way. One in one of us in this room, unless Jesus takes us to be with him, are going to go the same way. Chapter 5. His story rewrites our story. Easter is not just about what happened to Jesus. It's about what happens or what can happen for you and me. It's about what could happen for you today, right now, in this place, if you want it to. Because of his story, our past doesn't define us. Our failures don't finish us. Our sin does not have the final word. The resurrection of Jesus means dead things live again. Broken things can be restored and lost people can be found. Amen. Do you feel dead or broken or lost? Allow Jesus to rewrite your story today. Why not today allow your story to be rewritten by him? Ever seen a movie, an action movie, and the superhero dies? And you're all thinking, what on earth is the end of this story? All the men are crying and the ladies are looking at, why isn't my husband crying? The superhero dies and then there's a twist. Something changes. The music changes. And the hero comes back to life. That's what Easter is. It's the moment when God rewrites the ending. And if God can rewrite death, God can rewrite your ending. Anybody here want a different ending? Anybody want a different finish? You can have it today. It won't be an Easter egg you have. It'll be something far better that will last for eternity. Your story is not over, no matter how dark it feels, no matter how stuck you feel in it. And when I was praying this morning, I came down early this morning. It was about just after 7. And I felt that there maybe there's some people today that feel that they're just stuck in life. This is my lot in life. I'm just having to survive and get through. I don't know how I'm going to do that. Today, your story can be different if you want it to. Romans 10, verse 13. Let's read it together. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Not if you're a male or a female or whatever colour you are or whatever age you are, whatever you've done in life, whatever mistakes you've made, whatever things you've done wrong, whatever things you feel guilty about. Everyone, without exception, who calls on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. That's his story becoming your rewritten story. Chapter 6. Why Jesus is truly unique. Jesus is not just one option among many. There are many ways to God, isn't there? No. There's only one. There are many ways to be saved, isn't there? There's only one. I wish I could say to you, you could have all these different options. Choose whichever one you want, and it will be okay. There is only one option, and his name is Jesus Christ. He's the only option today you have. You either take him or you leave him. He's not just another religious figure. He's utterly unique. He's the one born without sin, the only one who lived a perfect life, the only one who ever died for the sins of the world, the only one who ever conquered death. No one else has lived a perfect life, a sacrificial death, and a victorious resurrection. The combination exists in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the only one who can save you right here, right now, from where you are. No one else has the ability, the authority, or the power to save you. Let's read this scripture together. Acts 4, verse 12. Shall we read it together? Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. That's why his story stands above every other story. Chapter 7, completion. Perfect. The perfect chapter to end a book. The invitation of his story. Easter always brings an invitation. It's not just a time to admire Jesus, not just a time to study him, but to respond to him. The question is not, do you know his story? The question is, are you part of his story? Because knowing Jesus is not the same as knowing him. Knowing about him is not the same as knowing him personally. Today, every one of you here, without exception, Jesus is standing in this room and said, would you let me rewrite your story? Would you let me come alongside you? Would you receive me? Would you let me in and allow me to change your story? And Jesus says it doesn't have to end the way you think it is. Why don't you step into a new life marked by forgiveness, freedom from your past, a hope and eternal life? Imagine today we have a lawyer in the room. Imagine today that, let's pick on somebody, Jane. So this is Jane here. Hi, Jane. So Jane decides to leave Tim some money in her will.
Thank you.
And the lawyer writes the will. Now, Tim didn't really deserve it because he's not done anything to help Jane, but Jane has decided she wants to bless him with a will. He's done nothing to earn it or deserve it. But the name is on there. The lawyer said, Tim, you've been left this money, £1 million, Jane. Andrew comes to Tim and says, the inheritance is yours, but you have to do something. You actually have to accept it. You can ignore it. You can say, I don't need the £1 million. Thanks, I've got 2 million. My wife's got lots of money and I can just live off her inheritance. I don't need it. You could just walk away. But if you walk away, you can't benefit from it unless you receive it. If you want the benefit of it, you need to receive it. That's Easter. Jesus has already done the work. He's already written your name on his will. Every one of us in this world, our name is written. But the choice is whether we want to receive it. And I want to say to you, if you want to benefit from this story, his story, you need to accept the invitation. Let's finish now with Romans 10, verse 9. Let's read it together. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That if you will confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. That's what you have to do today. It's not difficult, but it's to receive the benefits of the inheritance of the will. His story can change everything. His story is still changing lives. It's still transforming hearts. It still offers hope and salvation. Because Jesus is not part of history. He is the centre of it. Worship him. Nearly every Sunday in this building, or people watching online, make a decision to receive Jesus Christ into their life. Nearly every Sunday. Do you want to do that if you don't know him? I'm going to ask everybody in the room just to close their eyes for a minute now. This is the best Easter present you will ever have. Even better than watching these people being baptized, which is amazing. And let me just say, those who got baptized, God is celebrating in heaven with the angels today because you've chosen to do that. But God also wants another celebration today where you accept. This is probably the biggest decision you've ever made. Maybe you need to come back to Jesus. Maybe you need to say, I'm going to come back today. Maybe you've walked away, your heart's gone cold. Or maybe this is the first time you've heard this and you just need a fresh start, a new start. Listen, I'll let you down, but he never will. So if that's you today, I want to give you the opportunity to just pray, raise your hand. I'm going to pray for you. Would you do that right now? You put your hand up so I can see. That's great. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Great. Pastor Emmanuel, who dunked the people, baptized them today, will be around at the end, and he'd love to see you and speak to you. That would be great. The decision you make will be the one that changes your life forever. He will never let you down. You've made the best decision you can ever make. Father, I just want to thank you for those precious five people, I think, that raised their hands today. I ask, Lord Jesus, that this will be a day like no other, that they will remember what you've done for them. That, Lord, you will come, invite them, and they will invite you in, and you will change their life forever. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his own son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. So I pray over you today. I pray the love of Jesus that washes away the past. I thank you for the hope that Jesus gives, that today will be a new day for you, in Jesus' name. Thank you so much for listening. We're going to sing a worship song together. We love to sing about Jesus for 5 minutes. We're just going to sing a worship song, then we'll come back and finish. I think we're giving our eggs to the children, I think, or for me, I'm not sure. Let's stand together. Jesus, what a beautiful name.